It's quite an accomplishment to write a psychological thriller these days. We're so sophisticated, so jaded by edgy crime and fiction and movies, not to mention real life, that we're suspicious when we're told a new book's come along that's a nail-biting page-turner. Cynics that we are, we also tend to think that bestseller suspense tales must be contrived. But what debut novelist A.J. Finn does with The Woman in the Window is remarkable. He's created a breathless, stunning, twist-and-turn plot that cleverly relies on familiar scenarios, most of the Hitchcock kind, and builds the Hitchcock references into his own story. His narrator, Dr. Anna Fox, is an agoraphobic, shut-in, rear-window-gone-girl, girl-on-a-train 30-something. An intelligent woman, a psychologist who's had a breakdown. She's separated from her husband and young daughter, though she talks to them regularly, and medicates herself a lot with Merlot and pills together. She passes time watching and critiquing old black-and-white classic noir, playing chess online, and spying on her neighbors with a Nikon zoom lens. The book's opening line, part of Anna's interior monologue, establishes her voyeurism. Her husband's almost home. He'll catch her this time. That's the Millers from across the street. But a new family has just moved in from Boston. Mother, father, adolescent boy. The Russells. Jane, yes, Jane Russell. Her husband and their 16-year-old son, Ethan. Anna spies on them as well. But one day, through the window, she sees Jane stabbed to death. She doesn't see who did it. And when the police come, they tell her that Jane is very much alive. As for Ethan, he secretly visits Anna and admits he is scared. Anna's certainly aware of reality, but she's also caught up by movies and all the drugs and alcohol she takes. She recalls film dialogue. Bogey, for example, asking Bacall, "Don't you get lonely up here?" And Bacall answering, "I was born lonely." To herself, though, Anna then mutters that she wasn't born lonely, she was made lonely. A handsome tenant who moves into the basement of the building she owns complicates the plot. Like the Russells, he's also from Massachusetts. Short chapters with datelines end as cliffhangers as the author deepens what the reader learns about Anna. Hints of adultery, a traumatic trip with her family in a snowstorm, her capacity to lie to therapists and friends. "Are you drinking?" they ask. "No," she replies, then to herself, "yes." The reader likes Anna, though. She's a fallible narrator, but concerned about what she believes she saw, even if a compassionate police detective doesn't believe her. Besides, there's young Ethan, who lets it drop that his father is violent. Finn ingeniously misleads with delayed information and red herrings. He's also inventive in creating metaphors for Anna's depressed, pill-induced, semi-hallucinatory state and restricting the reader's point of view to hers, though you may begin to suspect what's going on. Yes, at the end you might find a flaw or two in the plot or characterization, but what a ride. I'm Joan Baum.